There's a deserted theater down by the pier. And if you value your life, you won't go there. For up in the balcony and down every row, a killer with a knife roams ready to strike.
Horror stuff.
The unusual, the strange, the hideous, the shocking.
Horror stuff.
Murder, vampirism, cannibalism, sadism, mutilation.
Live from North Carolina. Horror movie news, reviews, and the best in local music. Every week, with your host, Bobby Knipe, on Horror Stuff.
The vault of horror is about to open. You will learn its terrifying secrets, if you dare.
Horror Stuff.
Frightening to be ignored. You have been warned.
Somebody! Get ready for a bit of the old ultra violence.
Guys, you're listening to Horror Stuff, and this is your host, as always, Bobby, and I am here with Josh from Lunch Meat Magazine. How's it going, man?
It's going very groovy.
Right on, man. I'm glad you could jump on here with me, man. I've been wanting to talk with you for a while.
Yeah, man, I'm stoked. I'm stoked to hang out on this this Skype thing, man. It's the future.
I'm telling you, dude, I started doing this podcast about a little over a year ago, and I stopped for a while because I started school and everything, and I didn't have time to do it, but I used to do it. Basically, I'd have a couple friends come over and we'd talk on microphones, and that was about it. And now with this, man, I get to talk to a whole bunch of new people, you know?
Yeah, man, it's groovy. My buddy Ted, who does the magazine with me, was over in Europe for a while, and this is how we communicated. So, you know, it's definitely a useful thing.
Oh, yeah, it is, man. I mean, it's opened a lot of doors up.
It's all free.
Oh, I know. Free's best. And the thing is, they could easily charge for this and people would pay, you know.
I think they do charge for it, right? And they have like these like premier packages or whatever.
Oh yeah. And you know, I've never even actually looked into the premier package, so I don't even know, you know, what it entails.
Yeah, I mean, all I need is this. I mean, this is free, so this
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, all right, dude, Lunch Meat Magazine. Obviously I know a lot about it. I check out the site a lot and stuff. For people that don't know about it, can you tell us a little bit about what it is?
Well, we're a print magazine. We just recently got a website, so you can check that out at lunchmeatvhs.com. We have lots of cool stuff on there, like blog material and out of print stuff. But what we focus on, we're a print magazine, independent. I publish it out of my apartment, and it started about 3 years ago. And basically, what it's all about is about the VHS format. We like to champion the VHS format in the way that we discuss films that haven't made it to DVD. Films that haven't made the jump and probably will never make the jump. And we focus on horror, exploitation, sci-fi, weird stuff. That's the kind of stuff we love over here. And that's the kind of stuff that we want to bring to people. When I say we, I mean it's me and my friend Ted. We started it together, and he kind of moved away from it for a little bit because he had a kid and everything. But he's back on board, and everything's going great. New issue's almost done. And you know, it's really exciting, man. It's great to be able to do this sort of thing. And I've met so many cool people. Like the thing, like what I'm doing with you right now, it's extraordinary. I love meeting people that are stoked about the VHS format and these weird horror movies and, you know, just all these esoteric things. It's really thrilling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, like I've always been into VHS, just like I'm sure you have. You know, I mean, I don't know how old you are, but, you know, I remember growing up in the 80s. I was young, but going in video stores, man, and they – you know, horror wasn't like it is now where it's really, really mainstream. You know, back then it was almost like you'd go back in the dark part of the store and it was kind of creepy just looking at the boxes because you kept looking around because it was so dark. And it was one of those things that kids don't experience today. You know, where they walk in, they look on the new release wall, and there's remakes of whatever horror. You know, back then we walked back, and there's the big boxes and the crazy gory covers that they never would do today, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a totally different experience, and I think that people that watch movies now just, you know, a lot of them like go to the red box and, or, you know, sit in front of their laptops or plug it into their big screens, you know, and they download a movie or stream a movie or something like that. And, you know, more power to them. You get to watch a lot more stuff, and, you know, you have an infinite library of stuff. But I mean, like what you're talking about with walking into a video store and just being immersed in all these gory, you know, ridiculous, awesome covers is something that I will always remember. And I think it's a huge part of what the VHS is as embodied as media. I mean, the covers are a huge part of it. I mean, we feature a lot of artwork in Lunch Meet. I mean, that's a huge part of it. I mean, it's an essential part of VHS. And I couldn't agree more with, like, saying walking around in these video stores and just oh man, I mean, I was in there for hours. My mom would get so pissed. I mean, I'm not hours, but I mean, I was just sitting there just like, you know, just fascinated with these and picking up one, putting it down, picking up another one, putting it back down, picking them both up. And like, I want both these. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. And those were great times, man. Like being a kid, I remember those times vividly. You know, going to McDonald's, getting a 20-piece nugget, going home, watching tons of VHS tapes. And to answer your question that you brought up before, I'm 26. So I guess I was really watching movies heavily in the mid-90s. So a lot of those 80s horror movies were still on the shelf and still being rented like crazy. Like, you know, Mother's Day. The Pack, Redneck Zombies. What else? Mountaintop Motel Massacre.
Oh God, that was a big one, dude. I remember the cover for that one. It has, you know, the chick on the front, you know, coming out the door.
Yeah, like scraping her nails, like down the door.
Well, great, see, I'm 27, so I'm I'm the same, you know, pretty much same age as you. And I mean, the big thing with me is when I was like 5 and 4, my mom was cool, you know, like she let me watch these, you know, and my very first movie ever, I barely remember. It was in 1984, and Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one, had first come out, and my mom wanted to see it with my aunts really bad, and she couldn't find a babysitter. So when my mom was 17, she had me. So she was young, so she didn't really think about stuff like this, but she actually took me to the movie theater with her when I was like 2 months old to watch Nightmare on Elm Street. And, you know, obviously I don't remember it, but, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I hear the questionable nature of that, and I can understand the angle. But look, man, you turned out great. I mean, you're online and conducting interviews about this kind of stuff. You know, you watch this horror movie when you're that young, and ultimately, it's influenced you to put back into what horror is, and you know, be part of the community and everything. And I think that's a great thing. And I think that you going to this movie at that young age, as I'm sure you'll agree, definitely influenced that and made you interested in these kind of things, you know what I mean? It kind of spawned all of it. And I'm the same way. I mean, I've watched films since I was a little kid, of course, and I like all kinds of films, not just horror. I think another thing about the VHS that is important to know about me is that it really introduced me to horror. I watched a lot of VHS rentals that were horror, like I was talking about earlier, but I also watched tons of cable, like pay channels, like when I was being babysat. So, I mean, you got to think about the stuff that was on cable then was like Return of the Living Dead, It, you know, Night of the Comet, stuff like that, Leprechaun. I mean, just stuff that was all over cable and Showtime and HBO and, you know, Garbage Pail Kids, movies like that, that like, those are the movies that really got me into more fringe underground stuff. And then renting all those movies like Mother's Day, I keep mentioning that. I love that movie so much.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, man, oh, it is. It's totally great.
Well, see, I was talking on the... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
No, sure. Go ahead. No, yeah, ask me.
Speaking of Mother's Day, on the site, me and a few other people were talking the other day. I actually just bought Redneck Zombies at Walmart. It was like $5. They just put it out, the 20th anniversary. So I bought it. I hadn't seen it since I was a kid, you know? So I watched it, and, you know, you might disagree. I've had some people disagree with me, and some people agree that trauma today is nothing like it used to be. You know, they put in all like the fart jokes and the poop stuff, and they do it to the extent of they're ruining the movies because they're putting so much of it in there and just making it so over the top goofy.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, trauma is a different beast nowadays. I think trauma is doing something totally different than they were doing back then. I mean, you can just look at the original intro that is on in front of all the trauma movies. I mean, they kind of parody themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When they do intros and stuff, you know, they have like, I just watched Night Beast on DVD that doubles up with the Blood, Boobs, and Beast, the thing about Don Doler, which is excellent. I recommend it.
Oh, I watched it on I think it was on Hulu Plus. I watched it. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Great documentary. Yeah. He's a great guy. Great artist. Underrated. But anyway, what I'm getting at is, like, when Troma did the intro for that, it was like, we love this movie. And then it's like overdubbed, like, Night Beast. And you're like, oh, man, come on. It's like kind of insulting, right? But I mean, it's not. That's what Troma is now. And I think with them funding more independent things now rather than buying people's movies, because that's what they were doing, putting stuff on video. They did some Troma Team releases, but they were also buying other people's movies that were already made. They weren't really funding stuff as much as they were now, I think. They have more creative control in all their stuff, so their personality comes through more with their newer releases, whereas their past releases, the stuff that we're more attracted to, is more of a collection of other people's IPs. So, I mean, I think that's a big difference in what Troma was and what they've become. But I still love Troma. I think what they do is great. They do a lot of great independent horror and, you know, exploitation tales to this day, and I have great respect for them and what they do, and I think Uncle Lloyd is a fantastic person. He's totally out there. If you've ever met him, he's quite a character, man. He's really funny. He's really funny.
I've heard he's pretty much exactly the same way as he is when he's on, like, the Troma interviews and stuff like that on the DVDs, you know, just kind of out there.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. I mean, he's spaced out, man. I mean, it's spaced out in a very endearing way, though. spaced out in a way where you're like, wow, man, like, you are into it. Like, you're not putting on a show. And if you are, you are a perpetual show, my friend. So, he's definitely a nice guy. And he's doing something great. But yeah, I mean, Troma's cool. I definitely respect them, like I said. And I definitely agree with the notion that they are different now than what they used to be, but
right on.
You know, all things change.
Oh yeah, of course. I noticed, like, you know, a lot of people today, you know, younger kids that are into horror and stuff, when they watch older stuff, such as the shot on video that was, you know, real prominent in the mid to late 80s, a lot of them say, oh, I can't watch it because the quality is horrible. And, you know, I've been thinking about it, you know, because I've been watching a lot of shot on video lately. And I'm sure you probably agree that when I was a kid, I don't even remember thinking the quality was any different. I remember watching the movie and, you know, thinking it was good or it was bad, you know? And, like, nowadays, everybody's so concerned with quality, they'll start watching a movie and 10 minutes in, they'll stop and say, I couldn't handle it. It was so cheaply made or something. Have you came across that problem at all? And what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I think there's two angles to that to take. And I think that the first angle, like when you said we're kids watching these movies, like, great examples are SLC Punk and Garbage Pail Kids. Movies like that you watch when you're younger and you watch them over and over again and you love them. And funny story about Garbage Pail Kids, I bought it on DVD and I went over to my buddy's house and we're just hanging out, chilling. And I'm like, yo, I want to put this movie on. I'm like, oh, Garbage Pail Kids, that movie's awful. And I'm sitting there, like, putting on a rant, like, no way, this movie's great. This movie's so awesome. And I put it in and we watch it for 10 minutes and I was, like, embarrassed. Like, it was like, it did not hold up at all. And, you know.
Yeah, and it was a kid's movie, you know? And if you look at it now, dude, it's kind of creepy. Those Garbage Pail Kids are creepy looking, dude. The effects and everything they did.
Oh yeah, they're like monstrous. I mean, they're weird, you know. I saw that when I was a kid, and I saw these little monstrous creatures, and I'm like, man, this is so cool. They, like, walk around and talk, and, like, they're interacting with regular people, and they, like, slime people and shit. And it's like, it's amazing. It was amazing, you know, for, you know, a 6-year-old kid to watch, to be put in that position to watch something like that. And I think now, also the other angle that I was talking about is that I think we're in a generation where the focus on media is quality. I mean, everybody's pushing for clearer, higher definition, you know, cleaner sound, things like that. And that's where I think it gravitates to for a lot of modern consumption of media. And for us, I think it's more of, that's not something that we idolize. I think that's something that I don't even really recognize it. I mean, I watch a VHS print of something or a DVD print of something, and people are like, oh, this is Letterboxd or this is that, et cetera. It's like, I don't really care. to put it in like simple terms. You know what I mean? I don't really mind what.
Oh, absolutely. And I brought up the whole argument of how I think personally that the VHS and the VHS format and the time period when VHS was so prominent, it was a better time for horror. And a lot of people on the site have disagreed with me and said, I can't watch VHS and I refuse to watch VHS because it's pan and scan and I want to see the whole movie, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's an argument to make, and I mean, it's valid, I think, but I mean, like you said, it's all according to taste and aesthetics. And I think people that are into VHS, this, you know, the subculture that's emerging right now. And like, I think it's just like a matter of taste. I mean, you appreciate those sort of aesthetics when it comes to a film. Like, I like watching grainy stuff. I think it adds to it. I like those cheap angles. I like, you know, I like the bad dubbing and things like that. It's you know, it's fun to me. You know what I mean? I think that's something that lets me enjoy things on a different level. But yeah, you know, it's really hard. Like when you start talking about it, to pinpoint what you really love about VHS tapes, to be exact, I mean, I love them because the reason I started collecting VHS tapes is because they were cheap. When I first started buying them, they were absolutely dirt cheap. People were giving them away. You know, it wasn't that long ago, man. It was like, I don't know, 7 years ago, 6 years ago. When I was collecting very, very heavily, which I still do, but, you know, it was cheap. It was like 50 cents a dollar, you know, and nobody was like paying these outrageous prices for VHS tapes. And like, that was one of the main reasons that I started collecting VHS tapes, you know, because I could expand my library and get these radical movies for, you know, pennies.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, see, about 7 years ago, I worked at horror, right when I was about to graduate high school, right around that period. And I remember they got a note from corporate. And they were going to have to, they said to get all the big boxes, but they didn't want them anymore. They couldn't give them away to sell them. They had to cut them up, destroy the tapes, and throw them in the dumpster. So they gave me the job of doing it. And at the time, you know, I liked VHS movies and stuff, but I wasn't into it as big as I am now.
Right.
And I remember specifically cutting up a lunch meat, the Boogeyman, and there were several other ones I can't remember. But, I mean, ones that are just, I would kill to have today, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they were great. And then I remember they had Cannibal Camp out, but it wasn't a big box, but they made us destroy it because somebody complained about the cover of that. And I mean, I remember there was tons of big boxes that we just had to cut up and throw in the dumpster. And at the time, I didn't really think much about it. But now that I think back, I'm like, oh my God, you know how much, you know, money went in there, how much nostalgia went into there, how much collectible stuff, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's a heartbreaking, you know, memory when you look back at it. I mean, it's just,
oh yeah,
I think that's what happened to a lot of VHS tapes. And I think why VHS tapes go for so much money now is because people are realizing just how rare these things are. And plus, I think a lot of people have the collector bug right now. There's so much culture going on with it on Facebook, everywhere. The stuff, even what we're doing right now is, you know, part of it. It's resurging without a doubt. And, you know, but back to touch on what we were talking about is like, I think a lot of tapes did get destroyed because a lot of, like I said, when I was buying those tapes and people were throwing them away, they didn't care. You know what I mean? Yeah. They were crappy horror movies or like weird movies nobody ever really rented. And they were just like, get rid of these things. You know, we're getting DVDs. Like, these are the new movies. Like, these things don't sell. Nobody rents these anymore. You know, and it's like, that was a high time to be picking up VHS tapes, you know, and it was kind of just like, the only people that I wouldn't even say I was savvy to it. I would just say I was tuned into it. You know, I was collecting at the time, and I started publishing Lunch Meat, like I said, like 3 years ago, and things were changing then, but not as drastically as they had in the past couple of years, I think, or the past year. You know, collecting's really, I mean, it's made me more aware of it by doing Lunch Meat and like finding people that do it, that collect and are really interested in preserving the VHS tape and like all these other movies that are only on VHS. It's put me in touch with people that are absolutely rabid about stuff. I mean, we just covered some stuff on the blog where people are paying like $400, $500, you know, $800 for a single VHS tape, which is absolutely outrageous. You know what I mean? Especially when you say only, what you say, like 10 years ago you were doing that or something? You were just carving them up and throwing them in the trash?
Yeah, 9 or 10. Yep.
Yeah, you're carving those things up and putting them in the trash. And just the, looking at that timeline, how far it's come back, is astounding to me. And I think it's really exciting that people are actually recognizing this format as something that's really important. You know, it was a launch pad for all home entertainment. And it's a preservation, you know, it's like these movies are probably never going to make it to DVD. And even if they do, the nostalgia of the VHS tape won't be there. You know, the nostalgia of that format and the idiosyncrasies of that format won't exist.
Oh yeah. And you know, with the resurgence of everybody getting into the collecting of the VHS and stuff, you know, both of us have seen the resurgence of newer movies that are being put on VHS, such as House of the Devil, you know, being released on VHS, and the recent Big Box of the Basement, you know, and I love that they're bringing that back. And speaking of the Basement, I'm sure have you seen that yet?
Yeah, I have seen it. And you know what? I thought it for what it was pretty cool. And I thought the way they released it really was really fun. I think Camp did a great job with that production. And I got one in the mail and for review, and I was absolutely thrilled with it. I was like, man, this is great. Like everything was very cool about it. It was a red VHS tape, you know.
Right.
You know, the heart was there, I think. And I think that I don't even think Camp was really expecting it to do as well as it did. And I think with that, people contact me, people that have production companies and stuff, and they're like, hey, you know a lot about this stuff. What's the deal with it? And, you know, you got people looking for money and all that kind of stuff. And people know that it's hot right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it's no secret. What are those people that just did Sledgehammer, Alamo Drafthouse or something?
Yeah,
those people?
I know exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing some cool stuff. I know they get some heat or whatever from, and they get called hipsters and stuff like that. But that's only like internet babble. But I mean, that's still cool that they're doing that. And the fact that they're making these movies available again on a format, I think it's cool. I think it's retro. But do I think it's the same thing as having the original Sledgehammer tape? Not even close. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, not at all.
No. I mean, it's still really cool, and I'm not taking anything away from it, and I applaud what they're doing. But, you know, I just want to put it out there that I love the original ones, you know, and there's definitely a special thing about the original ones.
Oh yeah, and you know, if I'm bringing up The Basement, I have to bring it up because it was probably my favorite part of the whole movie in The Basement was the dubbing on The Basement.
Oh yeah, yeah, that brings me back to like bad dubbing and everything. So
oh yeah, I loved it, dude. And then you know, I watched The Basement, and I'd never seen Ghoul School in my life. And then when I watched The Basement, you know, I watched it with the commentary, and you know, the more he talked about, you know, Ghoul School, I was like, well, I gotta check this out. So I picked it up on DVD and watched it the other day, and actually I really dug Ghoul School.
I've never seen Ghoul School actually, so I can't really comment. But I know that Camp did do that one as well. Camp released a lot of those infamous direct to video, like Wood Chipper Massacre, Video Violence, yeah. All that stuff. They have you know, and I love those movies.
Yeah, it's the what, 80s retro classics or video classics or something.
Yeah, I fully support those movies. I think that they're great. I think that you know, that direct-to-video stuff is for a special kind of crowd. And I think a lot of people that are really into VHS tapes get into the direct-to-video stuff. Like, I was watching Video Violence, you know, when I was, like, 19. Like, that was a movie I watched all the time because I found the big box. I was like, man, this is, like, perfect. You know what I mean? And
Oh, yeah,
I love it. I don't know how much I'm allowed to talk about it. I guess I am, but Lunch Meet VHS Rewind Theater is something that's coming out. We're doing a show on an internet. It's a site that streams content 24/7, and they also have like an interactive message board.
Wow.
But it's direct. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And they're showing a bunch of like horror stuff. And this guy approached me, and he was like, "Hey, you know, I like what you're doing with Lunch Meet. I'd like to show some movies with your brand." And I was like, "Sure, if we can agree on some stuff, for sure."
Yeah.
And I think we're like almost there with Camp to get most of that catalog, that direct-to-video catalog, to show on the show. And
that is awesome.
Yeah, it's cool, man. It's really exciting because I really dig what Camp's doing. Like I just said, I respect all those movies and, you know, think that they're very important to what the VHS medium is. You know, that direct-to-video, I mean, that's the essence of it. I mean, I think filmmaking back when the video era was alive and, you know, new, it was totally different. You know what I mean? And you get to you get to see these people make these movies, you know, in their backyard or, you know, in their hometown. And then they get huge distribution rates because it was so easy to put something on video. I mean, relatively easy. Now, I wouldn't say it's like a cakewalk or anything, but...
Oh, yeah. Much easier than today.
I mean, I think it's easier today. Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, with people... I mean, with digital media and stuff, I mean, it costs way less. You know what I mean? You can edit a lot better.
You can upload it straight to the internet, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's your distribution. You know what I mean? Like, for anybody to even take a look at your movie, you had to distribution. You had to go out and show it at theaters and things like that because you're still filming on Super 8 or direct-to-video stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, nowadays you film something digitally, you edit it, you know, you put it in After Effects, you put all these things on it, sound effects, and you can just upload it right to the internet. You know, and then all these people can see it. You know, it's just a different kind of beast nowadays. And I think that the filmmaking is different as well because of that. So, you know, that's another important aspect of the video era that I think is something to bring up.
Oh, yeah. Now, what going to a different gear here. I know you're big on, you know, VHS and late, you know, 80s horror, early 90s stuff. What are some movies that you really dug when you were younger that you still remember to this day as being some of your favorites?
Oh, man. Return of the Living Dead, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original. Let's see. I mean, there's so many. I'm just trying to think now. I Drink Your Blood. I love Your Blood. Mother's Day, like I said. But I also, like, it's not going to be horror, but I mean, movies that influenced me just to really get into film. I mean, the first movie I ever saw in the theater was The Sandlot. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
I
love that movie.
It's a classic.
It is. I would call it a classic. Absolutely. Bad News
Especially
Bears.
For kids around our age, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I watched Bad News Bears all the time when I was a kid. I still do. You know, Labyrinth. I love Labyrinth. you know, I mean, I love all kinds of stuff. Back to your original question, what movies did I watch as a kid that still stick with me? I mean, stuff that I already mentioned. I think Return, all the Romero stuff too, like Dawn and Day and Night.
Right.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original. I mean, Lunch Meat was a big influence for me. You know, I've just recently come into contact with Kirk Alex, who directed that film. He actually reached out to me. He is a very cool guy, and I'm just absolutely thrilled, like that I'm able to become, you know, in touch with him and be friendly with him. And, you know, because I mean, his movie really did inspire me. I named my magazine, you know, as an homage to him, you know, in his work.
Oh, yeah.
Because it really did. I mean, when I was first started collecting heavily, I played in a band, and one of my friends played in this other band, and he came to a show. We're playing a show together. He's like, "Hey, my parents run a video store, and we're closing down. I know that you're into videos, so I brought you these tapes, man." He handed me like 5 or 6 tapes. I was like, "Oh, rad, dude! Thanks so much." And I looked at them, and Lunch Meat was in there, and right away I was like, "Oh, man, Extreme Acts of Cannibalism! Like, this looks sick, man." You know, and you know, I went home and watched it, and I was like, "Man, this is great." You know, I loved it, and I watched it over and over again, showed it to all my friends, and it was just one of those movies that was kind of random, but I watched all the time and really influenced me, and influenced me to get into the VHS format more so, and to just seek out all kinds of weird shit that are just on VHS, because you could look at that and you're like, I've never even heard of this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you use that model, so to speak, of that tape, and you go and seek out other stuff, you know, like just weird covers or like, you know, anything like that. And that was, like I said, that was a huge influence for me. It really was. Chopper Chicks in Zombie Town. That was another one that I got when I was really young. And I love that movie. I really like the comedy mixed with the horror. I think in essence, on a basic level, I think that's something that I really enjoy, especially cause it's just the '80s and everything is just so over the top and, you know, like, you know, kind of drug laced and just, you know, just like, you know, boobies out kind of party. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And it was all about having a good time and scaring the shit out of you. So I think those two components put into a movie are something that I can always dig, which leads me to loving horror and exploitation and weird stuff like that.
Oh, right on, dude. And like you were saying about Lunch Meat, I want to go back to that. About 2 months ago, I was looking through some old VHS and I had a cut box of Lunch Meat that I come across. And I started thinking, you know, remembering from when I was a kid. And I popped up and I was like, man, I'm going to try to find this guy, you know? And, dude, it was hell to find Kirk Alex. I was searching on every message board I could find, searching ever on the internet. And the way I finally found him was through his, I think it was his niece. I found his niece somehow on Facebook, sent her a message, and then somehow I looked on her friends. I was being a total stalker, and she's probably, if she ever listens to this, which I doubt, but if she ever listens to this, she's probably going to be like, wow, what a weirdo. But you know, I really want to find the guy, you know? So, you know, I saw Kirk Alex, and then this other guy right after that was helping me try to find that was online said, dude, I think I found it. And I said, is it this? And I sent him a link. And he's like, I think so. You know, I don't know if you went to his Facebook, but it don't show his info, you know, really, until you add him. Right, so I added him, sent a message, and waited like 4 or 5 days, man. And I was like, dude, I don't think that's the guy. And then out of nowhere, dude, this message come in. And I remember I was sitting in the living room, and my wife was sitting there. I was like, oh, my God, you're not going to believe this. She's like, what? And I was like, I found Kirk Alex. And she's like, who's that? And I told her, and she's like, what's lunch meat? And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I wish somebody was here that would be exciting. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And then, you know, I was telling him, you know, about how much I love the movie and everything. And he was awesome. He actually sent me a flyer, front and back flyer, promotional flyer, when he was trying to distribute the movie. And he signed it to me and everything, dude, and sent it to me. I got it framed now.
You told me about that. I am so, so jelly about that. I want that thing so bad, dude. That's so cool. It's so cool.
Oh, my God. Dude. It is, man. And, like, literally, he told me about it. And, you know, a lot of people, if they tell you they're going to send you something or else, you know, it takes forever if you ever get it. Dude, literally, like, 2 days later, it was here. He, like, shipped it ASAP, man. And, dude, it was just so cool, dude. And then I told him how I want to do a charity, like, midnight movie thing here. And he's like, go ahead, you know. If you can make some money off my movie, you know, go ahead and show it. And I was like, wow. You know, so
that's another thing. That's so rare, man. And like that kind of attitude is really rare. And it's really refreshing to find somebody like that because, you know what? I mean, doing Lunch Meat and getting involved in more projects, people are very, very guarded when it comes to their intellectual property and their art. And, you know, I think When I talked to Kirk, he was just, I mean, I was gushing with him too. I mean, when I got an email that said, like, you know, Lunch Meat staff, really neat publication you got going on here. You know, I ran into it on the internet, you know, sincerely, Kirk Alex, writer, director, editor, Lunch Meat. I nearly shot through the roof, dude. I mean, I jumped up and down, 12-year-old child. Like, I just, I'm still reeling about it. Like, I wrote him a letter today, because I'm sending him a bunch of Lunch Meat stuff. I'm sending him some issues and a shirt and stuff. And you just to show, you know, say thank you and just be like, hey, man, here's some stuff I hope you enjoy. And, you know, that's the, like, when how he sent you the signed poster or the signed flyer, rather, you know, that's the kind of spirit that I like to find in people. And I like finding that sort of thing, and especially in the VHS community, like the Fringe Film community, because I think it's abundant in that community. I think there are a lot of good, you know, nice people that want to share things and that are, you know, truly appreciative of you know, cool stuff and people that like cool stuff. So it's really cool to finally meet Kirk, or not meet him, but, you know, like get to know him a little bit. And, you know, it's great because I've met some people that I really admire their work and, you know, they're not so nice, you know, and I'm sure that's a story that you've heard before. So, I mean, it's just great to have Lunch Meat influence me in such a way and meet the guy and have him be, you know, a real gentleman and be like a really nice guy. So,
and, you know, talking about how you said some people are not so nice, I'm one of those people that if I don't think somebody's nice, I'm going to say it. So you don't have to say a word if you know about this person, but I'm going to say it, dude, you know. There's a newer movie coming out called The Orphan Killer.
Okay.
You might've heard of the movie. I did a review of the movie and, you know, put up that, you know, I put a really good review up. I liked the movie, put up a decent review. I said that the quality was kind of low and scratchy and grainy, but I said it worked for the film and it was good. This guy, I don't even remember what his name was, but the director just totally got pissed that I put that. Wanted, you know, was throwing off all these things of, oh, man, you know, you saw a crappy version of it. Oh, it's not like this. You need to take your review down, all this stuff. And I was like, dude, I put in that, you know, it helps the film. I'm not saying anything bad about it. And, dude, he was just a dick, like a total dick, like the first real dick of a movie guy that I've even ran into. And, I mean, the movie's pretty good, you know, for the most part. But, God, man, he just left that bad taste in my mouth, you know, and it kind of makes me dislike the movie now, you know?
Yeah, man, that's unfortunate. I think that you know, when you make, I think the one thing that that guy should keep in mind, and I'm not blaming him for the way he reacted, because making art is a sensitive thing. You know what I mean? You put your heart and your soul into something, and you know, if somebody criticizes it in a way that you don't, that doesn't really ring true with you, you know, depending on your personality, you're either going to lash out or ignore it. But I think, you know, he lashed out, and I think it's because he, you know, that's just his personality. But one thing that I've learned from making, you know, making things and putting my writing out there and, you know, making art, doing images, things like that, whatever you call it, you're going to get criticized. People are going to criticize what you do, and people are going to say it's no good. And you know, I mean, that's something that can be hard to deal with for people if they're not ready for it. And I think, I think that happens to people, but again, there's really no excuse for it. You know, you shouldn't, especially somebody that's giving your movie press, and like, especially because you said, like, you didn't say, like, oh, this is a piece of shit. You know, you said,
no, not at all.
You know, you deposited your opinion and you backed it up with, you know, fact. You know what I mean? Like, well, you have more opinion, but, you know, the gist of it is you didn't trash it. You gave your honest opinion of it, and it wasn't an exactly glowing review, so that guy needs to swallow that. You know what I mean? That's
yeah. I've had other people. Oh yeah, and then I've had other people that, you know, review flicks and stuff that have, that saw the conversation between us, because it was, you know, it was a public conversation on Facebook, and they hit me up and was like, "Yeah, we reviewed this movie." You know, I had like four people send me messages saying we reviewed this movie, and we, anything we said bad about it, he hit us up and got mad. Hey, you there, man?
I'm here.
I don't know what happened. I was just texting you to tell you that something went wrong with my internet connection.
That's all good. I don't know. I'm still here.
It's back now.
I ain't going to.
What was the last thing that we were talking about? You know, what was the last thing you got?
The last thing that we were talking about was that gentleman that didn't like your review. And then you started
an
open discourse on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we were talking about it on Facebook, and several reviewers, I think about four or five different people that review, hit me up with messages and was like, you know, if anything we said that remotely sounded bad, he lashed out at us too. So, you know, I've talked to several people, and apparently he does this to everybody that reviews this film, even slightly bad, and wants them to take it off.
Yeah, it sounds,
you know,
like
doesn't
a,
want
it. Sounds like a firecracker to me. I wouldn't mess with it.
I'm saying, dude, I don't know. I just said, all right, man. So,
yeah, I mean, sometimes stuff like that, I mean, I would just walk away, like, all right, man. I'm not gonna take it down, but you know, you keep emailing me with your nasty messages. It's not gonna do anything.
Yeah, and he messaged me and was like, "I hope you know we're not linking to your review if it's not a favorable review." I was like, "All right, that's fine, man."
Like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm really offended. Okay,
have a nice day. Who cares, dude? You know?
Yeah, come on. But right. I mean, yeah, I feel you, dude. And you know, you meet people, you know, that are just not nice. They're just kind of, you know, you go to conventions and things like that, and you meet people, and, you know, a lot of times the people are really sweet. You know, they're sweethearts, and they're really glad to be there. And sometimes you just meet people who seem kind of indifferent, and that's kind of a bummer too, you know, because whatever it may be, they're kind of just like sitting there like a mannequin or something. And, you know, that's whatever. Okay. I mean, like, I'm not a huge convention person. I go there to promote Lunch Meat and do tables and stuff like that, and I'll go there and meet, like, when the Return of the Living Dead thing happened, in Jersey, in Monster Mania, I went there and, you know, I met Miguel Nunez and Tom Matthews, and they were both great. Miguel Nunez, who plays Spider, he is amazing, dude. He was shouting like really obscene like stuff, and he, like, a really funny story about that. To digress a little bit about Miguel Nunez.
Yeah,
I went up and I got a signed picture of everything, and I walked away, and there was a big glob of ketchup on my picture, and I was like, "Oh man, this is funny." So I go back up to him, you know, because it's a pretty big glob of ketchup; it's gonna hurt the picture. And he's like, "I was like, hey man, I think there's some ketchup on this." And he's like, "Let me see that." He looks at it, holds it up, and he inspects it, and he's like, "Damn sure is some ketchup, ain't it?" And he like wipes it on his pants, and he hands it back. Sorry about that. Shit. Here you go. But I was like, that rules. So there's like a ketchup stain on my signed picture. So it's
oh my god, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And that's the kind of stuff that you can pull away from conventions, and when you meet people, you know, that kind of overshadows.
Oh, it is, dude.
Like that kind of.
I mean, you get those. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Yeah, I was just going to say that.
I mean, you get those guys. You go ahead.
Sorry. I'm just going to say that kind of experience overshadows, you know, the negative ones for me. You know, it really makes it worthwhile to go out there and meet people and, you know, like same thing with Kirk, you know, you meet people and it's really just like, you know, use this word again, refreshing and fun and good to meet people that are, you know, doing the right thing, so to speak.
Oh yeah, it is, dude. And I mean, there's where I live out in North Carolina, there's never any horror conventions even near here.
Yeah.
And we had the closest one we had was called HauntCon, and it's a haunted attraction convention that comes around, and they had, you know, some pretty good celebrities. They had like David Naughton and Gunnar Hansen and Andrea Beniarski that plays the new Leatherface and stuff. And, you know, I went and I was a total fanboy because it was the first and to this day only convention I've ever been to that's been around here. And, you know, I was a total fanboy. I was like, oh my God, you know, and it was really refreshing that some of them, you know, are just normal people. And I didn't expect that, you know. And inside the hotel, they had like a bar there. And I was talking to Gunnar Hansen and I was talking to Reggie Bannister from Phantasm. And they were like, I remember Gunnar saying, I need a drink. Do you know if there's a bar around here? And I was like, there's one right, you know, out in the lobby. He's like, well, come on, let's go get a drink. So I literally, at the time I didn't drink. I was like 21. And, but at the time I didn't drink. So I remember sitting there eating peanuts in between Reggie Bannister and Gunnar Hansen while they're drinking. And then I'm like, holy crap, I can't believe this is happening, you know? And then here comes the new Leatherface walking up and he meets Gunnar. Like literally the first time the two Leatherfaces ever met was like right in front of me. And I remember Andrew, the new Leatherface, got completely wasted and became an asshole, was hitting on every girl. And like, I just remember, yeah, I mean, I was like, and I remember Gunnar looking at me and Andrew was like passed out in a chair with his head rolled back. And he's like, I'll give you $20 to go kick him in the head. And I'm like, oh my God, dude. You know, I was like, and it was before the whole big, you know, surge of social media where you, you know, tweet and, you know, post your status from, you know, phone. So I couldn't tell anybody. And I'm sitting there like, holy shit, you know, nobody's ever going to believe this, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's nice to know people are just normal dudes, you know, even though they're, you know, big stars to some of us.
Yeah. And I mean, they just totally are normal people, you know, and it's, that's another thing about meeting people. Like, you know, we're talking about you meet people and, you know, they're not nice or they're super nice. And a lot of times you just find out that these people are just people like you and me, man. And I mean, what else could you, and when you really think about it, just, you know, what else could they be? You know, I've hung out with people that I've, you know, other people consider famous or consider, you know, really, really talented. And you know what? I mean, we're all human. And I think that that's something that, you know, is inextricable. And I think that, I think that, you know, like you said, it's good to see that stuff. And it is kind of, it's fantastic. And just, it's totally like mind blowing when you're sitting in between, you know, Leatherface and, you know, Reggie, and you're just sitting there and you're like, man, this is my life right now. This is pretty kick ass. Like, you know, you, but you put yourself in that position though, man, like you went to that place and you put yourself there and, you know, the horror community is something where that's really accessible and really possible. And that's another thing about, putting out a horror magazine. It's another really rewarding part is like being able to be a part of that kind of community and make friends and, you know, share ideas and, you know, talk about VHS tapes and, you know, weird paperbacks and, you know, cool toys and things like that. People that are into that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's easy. You know, like I always remember I was at a convention one time. And he's like, yeah, horror's like, it was, I can't remember who it was. And you have to damn me for it. But somebody was saying like, yeah, horror conventions are like a one of a kind thing. Horror is such a special niche genre. And I was like, yeah, I agree. He's like, yeah, man. And he looks at me with this like little smile and he's like, you don't see any drama conventions anywhere, do you? And it really made me crack up, man. I was like, yeah, dude, you're right.
It's true.
It's
man.
True. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Horror is, it's a special kind of community. And, you know, you can get romantic about it and you can say all that, but at the heart of it, it's just a bunch of cool people hanging out, you know, having conversations about, you know, something they really love and enjoy. And that's really,
oh yeah, absolutely.
And that's why I started the magazine. I mean, so I have, you know, when we first started it, we didn't think anything of it. Like, Lunch Meat also has ideals of championing physical media in general, especially because we're talking about the digital breakthrough of right now and, you know, how everything's moving that way. I'm very nostalgic and I love physical media, and VHS is one of the forms of physical media that I absolutely adore, obviously. And, you know, it's just, I love that stuff. I mean, like being able to put out a book, like a physical book, like, you know, you can have blogs, you can have websites, you can do that. And we do that now too, only because I want to put that presence out there. I figure why not? But the main thing is that we put a print magazine out. And that print magazine is going to last. You know, we make sure we make it quality and, you know, that the writing in there is quality and everything in there is quality to the best that we can do. You know, I mean, we're independent publishers and everything like that. So keeping that in mind, we always do our best to make it look as good as possible and make you guys and everybody, videovores out there, just enjoy it. But the real aspect of it being a physical book, like a magazine, something that you can hold in your hands and look through, you know, I think that's an important aspect of what Lunch Meat is as well. So, you know.
Oh, it does, dude. And, you know, while you're on the topic of your magazine, is now can you guys subscribe? Can somebody subscribe to your magazine?
Yeah, they definitely can. We're actually launching a new way to subscribe with the new issue, issue 6, which is going to the printer very, very soon. We're going to start this thing called Lunch Meat Video Vores. And what it is if you get a subscription, you get put into the Lunch Meat Video Vores. It's kind of like a fan club, like Creepy Eerie, Vampirella, that sort of thing. It's same idea. You get a we'll give you like a cool little membership card and like a 3-inch button, and you get a subscription, and which is just it's 4 issues, and then you'll also be put into you know, a chain where you can get special offers. Like we'll make Video Vore only t-shirts, and then we'll, you know, we'll send you extra stuff when you buy stuff from us, and it's kind of like the Misfits Fiend Club, you know what I mean? And that's gonna be the way to subscribe. But I mean, if you would like to subscribe, you know, we're very approachable and very accessible. So I mean you can go to the website and contact us. I mean, if you email us, you're going to talk to me. I handle every kind of correspondence, all the communication. So I mean, if you want any kind of information about the magazine at all, if you can't find it on the website, you know, just contact me and I'll contact you back without a doubt. Right now we're doing subscriptions for $20 for 4 issues, which is a steal, honestly. So,
oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, considering most horror mags are $9, $10 an issue now.
Yeah. And I mean, Lunch Meat doesn't have any advertisements. I mean, you know, we're 36, I think we're going to 30 and 40 pages with the new issue. And that's all, it's all content. There's no ads.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, that's something also I've done consciously is that, you know, we don't have a barcode on Lunch Meat and we don't do advertisements. This is something that I do in my spare time. You know, this is something that I do when I come home from my day job and, you know, I go to school too. So, I mean, this is something that I'm doing out of the pure love of it. And I think people realize that too, you know, and I mean, it's really just something that I want to do. It's something that I come home and I strive to do. You know, I watch VHS tapes, I write about them. You know, I hang out with people over Skype, like, you know, hanging out with you and email, you know, Kirk Alex and stuff like that. Like, this is what I live for. This is, I like having this kind of fun and being able to put out a magazine and have people receive it well and actually, you know, put me as, you know, somebody in the community that people can turn to for opinions and recommendations and thing is just it's wonderful for me. It thrills the shit out of me. I love it, man.
Oh yeah, absolutely, dude. And now the subscriptions, people can go ahead and go do it now, or do they need to wait?
No, they can contact me and I'll hook them up. I mean, like I said, I mean it's very accessible. You know, there isn't anything on the site right now to buy a subscription because we're waiting to launch this thing because we wanted to surprise people with it a little bit because we're gonna do it's going to be advertised or talked about rather in the new issue. And when that comes out, that'll be the new way. And everybody that already has a subscription with us, if you're listening and you already do, you'll be put into the Video Vore Fiend Club automatically and you'll receive those things with issue 6. So, you know, it's something that we're going to have fun with and launch it. And, you know, I love all the horror mags from the 70s and I love the Misfits. And I figured that some kind of Fiend Club is only fitting for what Lunch Meat wants to do. You know, just put that retro nostalgic dream out there and, you know, keep those kind of fun things happening with something.
That would be great, man. And I know for one, I'm going to do it. So be prepared for an email from me.
Right on, dude. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, man. But I think that's about all the time we got for tonight, man. But I really appreciate you jumping on with it, man. And I had a good time. We're going to have to do it again.
Yeah, man, I'll do it whenever you want. Whenever you want to hang out and talk about movies and VHS tapes and, you know, anything. You know, I'm here, dude. I had a really good time. And I really appreciate you having me, you know, do this.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. Once again, thank you so much. And I will be in contact about that subscription.
Sounds great, dude. Can't wait to hear it.
All right, man. Have a good night. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.